Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and Pastors Richard and Helen Kabakian can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
So, as I'm about to get on a plane, as often happens, you'll sit next to somebody, and this often happens to me. I know it happens to many of you who do travel, and you know, so I'll be sitting next to someone, and I'm a pretty friendly guy. Once you've worked out whose armrest, you've got to work out the armrest thing first. Are you doing front armrest or back armrest? Because you can't do both, bro. You know, you've got to sort of work out the armrest thing. I usually go with the back armrest. You can sit in the front light. I'm going to sit light. So once it's all worked out, then we can be friends. And so then sometimes I'll even do the no armrest. I'm a very gracious guy like that. Sometimes I just tuck my arms in and let them have it all. Anyway, I get talking to them and it's like, hey, how you doing? Great, great, great. And then, you know, I start asking them about their lives. So what are you doing? Are you going? Are you coming? What's happening? Do you live here? Are you going somewhere else? What do you do with your life? And it's amazing what people will tell you in the first 5 minutes of talking to them. Man, they will tell you everything, that they're starting a business, that they've got a girlfriend on the side as well as their wife. It's amazing I'm serious. They tell you everything in the first 5 minutes, and then they talk and they talk and they tell you about how they're going over there because they're sort of not paying their tax and they're going to go over there and they're going to, I'm like, why? What? Anyway, they tell you all this deep and dark stuff, and then eventually they go, so what do you do, buddy? And I'm like, you're going to so regret everything you just told me. And I go for it. I don't go, oh, like I'm a pastor, because they might not understand it. I just go straight for, I'm a priest. And I just stare at them like, why not? Put a little bit of conviction there. Why not? And then they go, but you don't look like a priest and all that. And I'm like, yeah, because we're sort of different priest. I'm a pastor of a church, you know. And they're like, wow. And then you can just see them thinking, what did I just tell this guy? Oh my gosh. And they're backtracking, right? And then they have this look about them where they sort of go, but you seem like you're normal. Like you look normal. Why would you? And I can hear them thinking. I can hear them. Why would you be doing that with your life? Like you could be doing anything. Obviously, you could be doing anything. Why would you be doing this boring God thing, priest stuff, right? That's what they're thinking. And so they'll often ask me, what made you do that? They'll word it in different ways, but basically, so why would you do that? I don't want to just give them the answer straight up. I'll just say, well, let me tell you why I didn't. So you're probably thinking I did it for a whole lot of reasons, but let's just go through some of those reasons. And so what I want to do is I just want to tell you guys why I'm actually doing what I'm doing. Is that okay? So I'm going to be talking to you about why I even became a Christian. Why did I become a Christian? Well, let me tell you something. In a minute, you need to say the word however. Can we just try practicing that, the word? However. Okay, that was a good first attempt, but it needs to be a lot brighter than that. Are you ready? One, two, three. However. Okay, could you hear the person behind you? Yeah. Okay. I didn't become a Christian because I had some life-controlling substance issue. Come on, let's do it all together. One, two, three. However, since I have become a Christian, the amount of times I have seen people that were fully addicted to drugs give their life to Jesus and completely be set free from drugs. Completely set free. What our government is trying to do through multiple programs and spending millions of dollars, we see in our church services week in and week out, people coming into this place full of substance abuse, being controlled by it, because that's what the world will tell them will make them happy. But they come into this place and they get so filled with the joy of God that they say, I don't need that stuff anymore. Now, if anyone agrees with me, give the Lord a shout in this place. Isn't that amazing? There was a guy, his name's Chris. He's an older guy. And Chris used to be a chain smoker. Like, he goes, Pastor Rich, you don't understand. He goes, one day I knew it was getting out of control when I walked into my lounge room and there was a cigarette on. And then I went into the kitchen and there was another cigarette. He had two cigarettes going at the one time. And he goes, I'd become a Christian and I just knew that it wasn't good for me. He goes, but Rich, I've got to be honest with you, I loved smoking. Does anyone know what he means by that? It's like, it's not like he didn't love it. He loved it, but he knew that it wasn't good for him. He knew where it was headed. And he knew that as a Christian, it's probably not the thing he should be doing. So he goes to his pastor and he was at the altar call and the pastor was praying and he said, "What can I pray for you?" And he said, "Pastor, I really want to give up smoking." And the pastor said to him, "Do you really want to give up? You know that question? Do you really?" And do you know what he said? "No." And the pastor said, "Well, that's okay, because God's bigger than your no." Yeah. Right? And so right, he goes, "God's bigger than your no." So he starts praying for him. "God, whenever he puts a cigarette into his mouth, make it taste like acid." That's what he prayed. Well, lo and behold, the guy goes to take a cigarette and it starts to taste like acid in his mouth. And he goes, "But that was a problem to me because I actually liked it." He goes, "But now I don't smoke because anytime I get anywhere near smoke, it starts to smell like acid." Wow. So you know what I'm wondering? Maybe you don't really want to get rid of some addiction in your life, but you know, God does want you to, because he wants to actually set you free. Amen. He wants to set you free. Have a look at this scripture. Have a look at what the Word of God says. I love this. Jesus says, "The Spirit..." Come on, where is it? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Why? "For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." I love that part. Have a look at what else. "He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released." What's holding you captive? Because I want to tell you right now, there is a God in this room. Not out there somewhere. There's a God in this room who is willing to help you with anything that's got control of your life. Jesus wants to break that and set you free so that you are not captive to anything in your world. Amen? Oh, yeah, I love this stuff. Do you know, there's a young lady in this room somewhere, maybe she's out there right now. She came to church. She hadn't been outside of her house for 2 years because of agoraphobia. Do you know what agoraphobia is? You know, the fear of going outside. You think a tram's going to run off its rails and hit you. You feel like you're going to die. You're just scared of the outdoors. So for 2 years, she was suffering with that. Her cousins bring her to church. In the first church service she comes to, God releases her from agoraphobia. Can you believe that? That's the God we serve. Is anyone glad that's the God we serve? That we're not talking about religion here? We serve a God who can break some chains here. I don't know what you feel like God is, that you are trapped with, but God would say to you today, "I can break it." And I tell you what, I reckon we're going to go there today. Amen. Well, I didn't become a Christian because I had some life-controlling issues. I mean, you know, I had maybe a little bit of drinking and a bit of smoking going on, but it wasn't like something I thought it was a problem. But that's actually not why I gave my life to Jesus. It wasn't out of control for me. Now, I didn't become a Christian because I saw some great miracle. However, since I have become a Christian, I didn't see anything. Some of you are like, "Oh, you must have seen something. That's why you're a Christian." Like, what did you see? Tell me what you saw. Well, to be quite honest with you, bro, I didn't see anything. That's not why I became a Christian. However, since I have been a Christian, I have seen some pretty amazing things, and so have some of you. Actually, listen, I don't even need to talk about something that happened a long time ago. 3 weeks ago, there was a lady down here. Do you know how we get people prayed for at the end of each service? Do you know we have some crazy people over there, all bodybuilders and stuff? Mate, you want to get healed, otherwise they'll pound you, mate, or something. And they stand. There was a lady who couldn't lift her arm up. Hasn't been able to lift up her arm for months and months and months. Could not lift her arm beyond that. So they're very bold, those guys. They're just like, "Listen, we're going to pray for you. You just need to start lifting your arm." And she's like, "No, no." And when she starts lifting it, and she's like, and she raised her hand. This was just a few weeks ago, guys. It just happened just over there. And I'm saying this to you to say, you know what, why are you living with some sort of sickness when God's willing? Now, I understand some of you say, "Oh, man, I've gone 1,000 times." We'll go 1,001 times. Yeah, just keep getting prayer and keep getting prayer. There was a Baptist pastor. He was blind for 20 years, right? He and his wife used to pray for 20 years for his blindness to go away. 20 years before they would go to bed, he would pray for God to cure his blindness. 20 years. And then one night, after 20 years, God opened his eyes. There it is. Can I just bring it down to something really small though that happened in my life? Some of you have heard this story. I just can't get around it. I wanted to go for my truck license because I needed a job at the time. And someone said, "If you go drive trucks, there's always a job there for you." So I was a young guy going through Bible college. I just needed a job. And so I passed my test, but now I actually had to go to the Vic Roads and I had to do an eye check. And I knew that back then I even needed glasses, but it wasn't as bad as it is today, but I needed glasses. And so I sort of said, "Oh man," I said to my wife, "Honey, where's my glasses?" Because I had a pair that I used to wear once in a while. And she says, "Oh, I don't know." She goes, "I haven't seen them for like three moves ago." 3 house moves ago, I haven't seen those glasses. I'm like, oh man, they're packed at some box somewhere. There's a, who knows where it is. So anyway, we were really tired because we were unpacking our house and, you know. So Helen goes to bed and I'm still looking for my glasses. I can't find them. So I lay down at about 1 a.m. in the morning and I just said, God, because in the morning I needed my glasses. I said, God, I really need my glasses. Please give me a dream as to where my glasses are. Because, you know, God can do that, right? So I laid in my bed. Anyway, I had to wake up really early because I had to go for my driving test. And I wake up. Helen is still in bed sleeping. I look over to my bedside table and my glasses are folded neatly on my bedside table on my right-hand side. Right? Yeah, yeah. Now, some of you, I know the whole reason the place, you guys just didn't jump up and touch the sky right then, because some of you said, ah, rubbish. Listen, if I'm going to lie about something, I'm going to lie really well about like big stuff. You know what I mean? I'm not going to lie about my little glasses being beside my, I'm going to tell you I raised someone from the dead. You know what I mean? I'm not going to lie about glasses. Let me assure you, that is the complete truth. Now, you know why that blows me away? Because God's concerned about your little glasses too. Amen? If he's concerned about my glasses, he's concerned about yours. And he's concerned about your job, and he's concerned about everything, and God's willing to create some miracles for you, because if he did it for me, I'm not that special. Remember, I'm Lebanese. And if he did it for me, then he's going to do it for you. Hey, we've seen God do some great miracles. Amen? Because that's just what he does. So I haven't become a Christian yet because of those two things. Let me tell you why else I didn't become a Christian. I didn't become a Christian because I was afraid of the demonic world. Yeah, now you better get a bit louder with that one. Oh yeah, however. I didn't get saved because I saw something like some sort of demon possession. I didn't. Yeah, yeah, let's do that again. I'll tell you that right now. Because as a Bible college student, I went out with myself and this young lady's dad, and you know, we were just fresh out of Bible college first year, and we'd heard about this power in Jesus' name stuff. And so we go to a place in Sunbury. Anyone live in Sunbury? Full of demons, that place, full of demons. Now you're really regretting you put your hand up. They're like, oh, I don't go there. Believe me, there's demons everywhere, but there's a lot in Sunbury. Only joking, not really, serious. So we go. And this guy's name's James as well. And we go in there and he's at this older couple's house. And we go in there to pray for him. And we were just going to just pray a nice, healthy prayer. Father, bless this guy, help him, blah, 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 blah. Go home, go. Maccas, right? That's what you do, right? Well, anyway, James puts his hand on him. And James has to start trouble. He starts using that name. There's a very powerful name out there. It's called the name of Jesus. So he starts the prayer with, Lord, as soon as that name came out of his mouth, the guy rolls back into his chair, his eyes roll back into his head, and he starts going, and all that other stuff that you see on TV. So we're like, okay, now what do we do? He's 18, I'm 19. We're like, great, we've got a demon manifesting in someone else's house. What do we now do? So anyway, it's amazing what happens. The Spirit of God comes upon you, and there was no fear. And we just started praying. And he started frothing and speaking. And then he grabs my leg and he says, this is what he says, what do I have to do with you, sons of God? I thought, well, at least he's recognized who we are. Hey, at least he didn't say, what are you doing here, you little Bible college students? At least he recognized us as sons of God, which gave us even more confidence. And then we asked Jesus to take that demon out of that guy. He got fully delivered, fully healed, fully cleansed, and Jesus is still doing that. Now, once again, that's a story from many, many, many years ago. Oh, gee, that's what Jesus used to do. Well, funny enough, I went to a guy's house just for dinner just a couple of nights ago. He's in this room. His family are out there somewhere. And they went with Paul and this guy, Derek, and they went and prayed for a lady the other day, and she was sitting there all happy, all by herself, just happy to be there. She's got a few things going on, talking in like a man's voice. But besides that, she was quite normal. So then they start praying. I think it was Derek that started praying, or someone started praying. And as soon as that name Jesus hit that woman's ears, she completely fell onto the ground and started rolling. Why am I telling you this? Because if you don't think this stuff exists, you know what? You're being really naive. And I tell you what, right now, there are people who are being tricked by the enemy. They're doing things. They're going to places that they don't even want to go to. And they're wondering, why am I even behaving like this? Because there is a demonic world. As much as there are angels, there are demons. As much as there is a God, there is a devil. But I want to tell you something. There is a name that is above every other name. And that name is the name of Jesus. And if you will speak that name over and over again over your lives, demons can't be in your house. Oh, I think there's a demon in my house. Well, work it out. Just Jesus. It can't stand in his presence. We don't need to have a house full of the demonic. Just speak out that name. Speak out the name Jesus over and over. When you get into your car, speak Jesus. If your kids are misbehaving, go into their bed late at night and just start praying Jesus all over them. Hey, come on, we're going to get spiritual. We're going to understand there is power in that name. Amen. Now, I didn't become a Christian because of this stuff, but I tell you what, I've seen a lot of it since. Amen. We need to give God the credit and give him the glory for the things that he's doing. Come on, give him a shout of praise in this place. Yeah. Some of you know the story. I love it because it's just so real. When I was working at my parents' milk bar, come on, who remembers that story? Come on, I've told it 1,000 times. But for those of you who are new, you need to hear this. I'm working in my parents' milk bar, just trying to make some thick shakes, for goodness sake. That's all I was trying to do. Make some thick shakes. And down over here where the counter was, there used to be a little sign because we were pretty fired up. And there was, because, you know, Joey DiMatteo and I, we used to preach and all that. And so what I did is I actually wrote the gospel out on this frame. And it said something like, since you have now read this, you have no excuse before the throne of God. And it was like fully judgy, preachy, horrible message. But anyway, it was preaching the gospel. So I'm over here making thick shakes, and this guy's over here, and he's reading the sign. I'm over here and I'm thinking, Lord, just really touch that guy as he's reading that sign. And I'm like, taking extra long to sort of make the thick shake. And then the guy yells out and he goes, hey, mate. I said, yeah, buddy. He goes, do you really believe what you've written on this sign? I said, yeah, I do, actually. He goes, I was there the day they crucified him. And I laughed. That's what he said. Straight out. I'm like, great. Little red rose milk bar. Got a demon in it. Okay. And I said, God, what do I say to that? And God gave me a thought. It'd be obvious to you, wasn't obvious to me at the time. And God said, you need to tell him something. And God dropped the thought into my head. And I said, all right. I said, hey, buddy. He goes, yeah. I said, were you laughing when he rose from the dead? Yeah. Right? Well, remember, he was ordering 4 milkshakes at the time. 4. My dad was a bit of a tidy. He was a bit tight, right? I was making 4 milkshakes. As soon as I said, were you there when he rose from the dead? He screams, and runs out of the room. Just runs straight out. Just runs out of the milk bar. Who does that? Have you done that lately? Anyone done that lately? He runs out of the milk bar, and I'm there with 4 milkshakes. Hey, all I know is there's power in that name. Amen. So when you feel like the enemy's trying to play you for a fool, maybe once in a while you need to let him know, well, hey, listen, just don't forget Jesus rose from the grave. Amen. In Jesus' name. Come on. Have a look what Mark 16 says. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. Does anyone believe in this place? Well, here they are. In my name, they will cast out demons and they're going to speak with new tongues. That's for every person in this place. And if you're new here today and you're thinking, is this for me too? Absolutely. God wants to do something really powerful in your life. Can I keep going? Yeah. I didn't become a Christian because I needed some more friends. I had great friends. I did. They were good. Some of them were better than others, but I didn't become a Christian because I was lonely and I didn't have anyone to hang out with and, you know, a real loser. Now, that's not why I became a Christian. Oh, you guys are getting really good at this. However, since I have become a Christian, the friends that God has brought into my life, especially those that I was friends with and then they became Christians, even those friendships went to a brand new level. Yeah. I want to tell you something. You end up with friends that'll take a bullet for you from their heart. You know, you actually end up with friends, listen to this, that will actually, wait for it, tell you the truth. Yeah. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, the Bible says. What does that mean? It means When you have Christian friends around you, they're not so worried about making you happy. They're actually just trying to get you on the right course. Yeah. You know, there was a lady in our church and she went to a job interview. And as she went for that job interview, she quickly left the house. She was running late, so she got dressed in the dark and she basically left the house. Her husband was still sleeping. He was a shift worker. So she leaves the house. And as she's walking along, she's noticing people are bipping at her. And she's thinking, what are these guys? Get a life. You know, they're all bipping at her and they're all being a little bit sexist like that. And so she ends up getting on a train and she's noticing that the girls, mainly the girls, are sort of looking at her and sort of going, you know, sort of giving her that weird smile. Like, and she's like, what? So she's looking at her reflection in the mirror. She can't see anything in the window. Anyway, so then she walks through Elizabeth Street in the city to get to her workplace. She finally gets to her workplace and the girl at the reception says, hey, what are you up to, lion? And she says, why are you calling me a lion? And she says, have a look in that full-length mirror there. And she looks and her pantyhose was hanging out of her skirt. Not the pantyhose she was wearing. Another pair of pantyhose was hanging out of her skirt like a lion's tail. So she'd been walking through the city like a lion, walking around on a train, walking down streets. That's why people were bipping at her. And no one bothered to tell her, hey, listen, just want to let you know you've got... You know what? You don't want to be surrounded by people like that, amen? You want to be surrounded by people that, you know what, they're going to tell you the truth once in a while. And I tell you how you end up with friends like that, friends that are actually genuinely concerned about you, people that want to see you grow and not go backwards in life, amen? So if you're going out with a guy that they think is not very good for you, they're going to actually tell you, amen? Have a look at what the Bible says here. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. It says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Don't be misled. Bad company is going to corrupt your good character. I didn't become a Christian because I needed more friends, but God has given me some awesome friends, and many of you are those friends. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Can I give you one more? I didn't become a Christian because I believed in the Bible. Oh, that was terrible. Let's try that one again. I didn't become a Christian because I was really a Bible believer. However, I didn't think much about the Bible at all. I was very scared of it. I didn't want to hold it because I thought it was holy and would burn a hole through my hand. But I actually didn't become a Christian because I feared the Bible or even believed it was true, to be honest. But since I've started reading it, I have discovered some things about the Bible that have blown my mind. Do you know, the Bible is not a scientific book in the sense that it wasn't written so that it could teach us about science, but everything it says matches up with what science is discovering today. Yeah, let me give you an example. Do you know, in the old days, the Greeks used to believe that the earth was held up on the shoulders of a god called Atlas. Did you know that? That's why we have an Atlas, right? So they believed that the earth was sitting on the shoulders of a guy called Atlas. That's what the old Greeks believed. Do you know, there's a religion in the world that believe that This is what their book teaches them. There's a religion in the world where their holy Bible, their book teaches them that the earth sits on the head of an elephant, right? There's another major religion in our world that believes that the earth is spinning on the end of the tip of a bull's horn. Well, we all know that that's a load of, right? Because NASA sends out a rocket and then some guys with a camera take a photo of our earth. And what do they notice about the earth? Was there an elephant there? No. Was there Atlas? No. Was there a bull? Would you say there was nothing? Well, there's a verse in the Bible that says that God has made the earth and he has hung it on nothing. I love the fact that you can't read anything in the Bible that when you match it up with science, it's never opposing. Do you know what that tells me? It can be trusted. Because the person who wrote the Bible, how did they know it was hanging on nothing? How did they know? God showed them. And you know, in the Bible, over and over again, it shows itself to be real. So let me tell you why I actually did become a Christian. Are you ready for it? Because I've told you whole reasons why I didn't. Although all those things are very powerful. Let me tell you why I did become a Christian. Because to me, this is the most powerful. Because when I came to church one day, I was sitting there just like that. Someone brought me to church. I was just a 16-year-old kid, and I'm sitting there, and the preacher tells me that God came from heaven to earth, clothed as a man, and because he loved me so much, he had nails put into his hands and a crown of thorns on his head. And guess what? He did nothing wrong. The only reason all of that happened was because he was paying the price for my sin. And the preacher, with tears in his eyes, was telling me, there is a God in heaven who loves you more than you love yourself. There is a God in heaven who loves us more than anyone else. And I want to encourage you today. I don't know what things you've got going on in your life. Maybe it is life-controlling issues. Maybe it is no friends. Maybe I don't know what it is that you've got going on. But I want to tell you something. There is a God in heaven who loves you so much. All he wants to do is be connected to you. How do we know that? Because he could have come and judged us all. And he could have come with a stick, but he didn't. He came with love. And he came with nail prints in his hand because he allowed men to crucify him. Why did he allow men to crucify him? Because he was paying the price that was your debt. I'm going to say that again. Jesus was paying the price that was your debt. Why? So that you don't have to pay it. How powerful is this? God loves us so much, friends. He just wants to have a relationship with us. That's all he wants. Now, having said that, that's the beginning. Then there's a whole lot of stuff that he's happy to do for us as well. But listen, don't come to him for the stuff. Come to him because he loves you. Come to him just because there is a God in heaven. Hey, listen, there's going to be a day that every person in this room, I don't want to be too morbid, but I'm going to let you in on a secret. There's going to be a day where every single one of you are going to be buried in the ground. But guess what? You actually won't be dead. You'll actually still be alive, but you'll be spending your eternity with God or away from God. Every single person in this room, everyone's going to die one day, but where are you going to spend your eternity is a great question to ask. Well, I want to tell you right now, you can make a decision today as to where you will spend your eternity. You can make a decision to say, I don't want to spend a whole eternity away from God. I want to spend eternity with him. Well, very easy. It's very easy to change. Just ask God to be a part of your world. Let him be a part of your life today. If you want him in your eternity, then be friends with him today. Amen? Amen? If you want to spend eternity with him, come on, today's the day of salvation.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.